Our text has been Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now remember, the text said, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now of him are ye, of God, in other words, of the Father are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. He's made all of those things unto us. He's our wisdom. Amen. And it's the wisdom of God's ours. To walk in the plan of redemption is wisdom. Amen. And he's our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. And so we need to enjoy our righteousness in Christ. Redemption was God's plan. We didn't plan it. God planned it. And the results of that redemption meets every need of man. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, remember 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, him, speaking of Christ who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now you see, our problem is that so many people think that righteousness means some state of spiritual development that you finally attain to. But no, actually, a better translation would be right standing. You see, Jesus is our right standing with God. We stand right with God because of him and because we're in him. We need to take advantage of that because we stand right in the presence of God. Without sin, because he cleansed us and washed us from our sins. The mightiest forces of the universe are at our disposal in God's great plan of redemption. You remember Acts, the first chapter and the 8th verse. Jesus said, ye shall receive power, King James translated, power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now look that word up, translated power. It means power, all right. But you'll find there are several different meanings. One meaning of the word is ability. You shall receive ability when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. After that the Holy Ghost. Or one translation said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, God's ability is at our disposal. Now what a thrilling fact that is. Then you remember 1 John the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. Ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now we could spend an hour on that verse. Sometime maybe we will. But you know, in the Old Testament, I've just been reading again the Old Testament quite a bit. In fact, I've read nearly half of it just since the first of the year. And you know, you've got all of those long pages of genealogy. So-and-so begat so-and-so. So-and-so begat so-and-so. So-and-so begat so-and-so. And that's all necessary. They need to keep their genealogy. Because you see, after all, Christ was promised to come from the tribe of Judah. And we can follow it all the way back, and thank God he did. Amen. But we can write our genealogy in four little words. I am of God.
Amen.
That's the important thing. Your natural genealogy don't count in heaven. Some people, I say very often, always bragging about their family tree. Maybe never did produce anything but a bunch of nuts. I can remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues way back 1937. and received the left foot of fellowship from among the Baptists and came over among the Pentecostals. Pentecostals in those days hadn't moved uptown yet. Most all of their churches were plumb out of town, nearly in the country, down the other side of the tracks, you see. And they called them holy rollers, tongue talkers. And I know my mother's only sister was secretary to the mayor of the city, and her only brother was first vice president of one of the largest banks. And my aunt said, "Oh, Kenneth, learn the family name, going off with the holy rollers and the tongue talkers. He's learned the family name." But you know the family name don't stand up in heaven at all. Amen. God could care less what your family name is, what your pedigree is, and whether you got any degrees or not. Amen. Amen. The thing that counts with God, hallelujah, and in the kingdom of God and in heaven, I am of God. Because you see, I've been born of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I am. Ye are. We are of God. I am of God. Say it out loud.
We are
of God.
I am
of God. That's all we need to know. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now notice that. And have overcome them. Now the them that he's talking about in this fourth verse of 1 John, the fourth chapter, you read the first three verses and he's talking about devils, demons, and evil spirits.
Yeah.
And now then he said, you've overcome them. You've overcome them. Well, somebody said, if I have, why am I having such problems with them? Because you don't believe what the Bible said. Because you see, when Jesus overcame them, that was marked down to your credit. Because he was taking your place and was your substitute. And what he did, God marked it down to your credit, and he's already marked it down that you overcome them. Hallelujah. And you see, you don't have to, that belongs to you. You don't have to pray that God give you, "Oh God, give me victory over the devil." You don't have to pray that God would give you victory over the devil. Victory over the devil already belongs to you. All you need to do, bless God, just appropriate it. Amen. Just declare it's mine. Just accept it. And it becomes yours. And you've overcome them. God said you've overcome them. You've overcome them. Them who? The devil, demons, evil spirits, all the kingdom of darkness. You've already overcome them. Now why have you? Because we looked at one scripture, remember, it said that who, talking about the Father, hath delivered us. In his plan of redemption that Jesus came and carried out, has delivered us from the authority of darkness. Glory to God. And translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. So we are of God. Now then he winds it up by saying, because. See, the reason you've overcome them is because. Because of who you are. Because of how pretty you are. Because of how rich you are. Because of how poor you are. Because of how ugly you are. Because of your family pedigree. No. Because greater. Everybody say greater.
Greater.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's in us. You see, God is for us. He's on our part. He's on our side. But I'll tell you something even far greater than that. He is in us. He is in us. If God's in us, then all of the ability of God is in you. Praise God. Take advantage of it. Tap into it. Just tap into it. Just tap into it. Glory to God. Realize that it's there and go forward in the name of Jesus. He's in us. If he's in us, then his nature's in us. If he's in us, then his love is in us. For the Bible said God is love and he's in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It would help us. Every single one of us in taking advantage of what already belongs to us, in appropriating our receiving that which is ours, it would help us to say over and over again during the day, every day, God is in me.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, if we didn't have God's word for it, you'd almost feel like that's sacrilegious to say that. But thank God it's true. Remember 2 Corinthians 6:16? Amen. As God has said, what did God say? I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Hallelujah. So every day, over and over again, you know, you may be facing what looks like an impossible situation. but just simply say, God is in me. God's ability is mine. Amen. God's strength is mine. God's health is mine. God's success is mine. I'm a winner. I'm a conqueror. I'm a success. Because of me? No, I'm not bragging on me. Because the greater one is in me. And the greater one, his great ability is in me. You see, so many times in Christendom, Christians have thought, you know, if I could give up this or give up that and finally get real spiritual, you know, then I would arrive. It's not giving up, it's taking on. I said, it's not giving up, it's taking on. I remember one time several years ago, somebody asked a minister, said, is it wrong to drink Pepsi Cola? He said, well, no, I don't guess so, but God will bless you if you'll give it up. God couldn't care less whether you drink Pepsi Cola or not. Amen. Are you listening to me? And folks thought if I could give up this and give up that and make some kind of a sacrifice, these things that would come out, they belong to us because of redemption. Amen. It's not giving up, it's our taking on. Praise God, what belongs to us. It's our enjoying what's ours, enjoying our life with Him. It's our living with Him. It's our fellowshipping with Him. It's our laboring with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have the use of that name. That name belongs to us. That name that's above every name. That name, praise God, belongs to us. Every single one of us. And that name can be used in prayer. Yes, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it you. That name can be used against the foul spirits of the devil that may come against me. Sure, in my name they'll exercise authority over the devil. Amen, sure. But did you ever stop to think about it? That name can be used in everyday life. That name can be used in the business world. That name can be used in the scientific world. It can be used in every department of human endeavor. Are you listening to me? In my name. In my name. You see, it is as though Jesus himself was actually present. Remember, he said, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done of my Father, for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now notice the next verse. See, it goes with that verse. Don't take it out of its setting. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, where two or three are gathered together. He's talking about those two people in agreement. See, we take that verse very often, refer it to a church service, not talking about a church service at all. It is true, however, because we came together in his name that he's here. But that verse wasn't talking about a church service. That verse was talking about wherever those two people were. Might be a husband and wife lying in bed at night. It might be husband and wife sitting in the living room. It might be two individuals driving down the freeway in the car or flying through the air in an airplane. If two of you on earth, as long as they're in the atmosphere of the earth, you see. Amen. Because you got to be on earth. Amen. In the earth's atmosphere. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they ask, Matthew 18, 19, it shall be done. Not it might be. Not there's a possibility. Maybe it could be. There is a very remote possibility, but not probably it won't be, though. No. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Now why? For conjunction. It joins what he's about to say to what he just got through saying. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. Those two that are in agreeing together. Wherever you are, in my name, there am I. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There am I. When we use that name, we bring the Lord Jesus Christ into actual contact with our problems. Hallelujah. With whatever we're facing. The source of all power is linked up with our lives and the problems that confront us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And all of these things are ours because of the precious blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 It's all because of the blood of Jesus. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed. See, we've been talking about redemption belongs to us. Redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation. That word conversation is a little bit blind to us. Today we don't use it the same way. You think of conversation, you think of verbal communication. But the Greek word translated conversation means your manner of life, your conduct. And so what he's saying is that you are not redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold from your vain conduct, your vain former way of life received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. You know, circumstances make things precious. Hunger makes bread precious. If you don't believe that, go to the second countries of the world or the country where there's great famine. Famine, hunger makes bread precious. Thirst makes water precious. Poverty makes riches precious. Sin, spiritual death, sickness makes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ precious. Hallelujah. For it's through his blood we are redeemed, the text says. So then, number one, the blood is precious because of its redeeming power. Redeemed not with silver, redeemed not with gold, but redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Remember what Paul said in his farewell message to the elders of the church at Ephesus in the 20th chapter of Acts and the 28th verse. He said, take heed therefore unto yourself. You see, this is his charge to the elders of the church at Ephesus. For he had said to them that they would see his face no more. And you read on down the end of the chapter, as he left them, they knelt down and prayed. Then they fell on his neck and wept. Most of all for the saying that they would see his face no more. This is his farewell message to them. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, the church, the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. So that blood is precious because of its redeeming power. Then I want you to notice 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood, everybody say the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. So that blood is precious because of its cleansing power. Hallelujah. You'll notice, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his son cleanses us from all sin. You see, there must be purity before you can have fellowship with God. There must be purity. There must be cleansing. And thank God that blood cleanses us. I'll tell you, we need to bring back some of those old songs. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something else. Not only do sinners lose all their guilty stain, but if you miss it and fail, you feel guilty, you feel dirty. But thank God that fountain is available to the believer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You can come back home like the prodigal son of old, praise God. And the father saw him coming from afar off and ran and met him. Hallelujah. And fell on his neck and hugged him and kissed him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's precious because of its cleansing power. Hallelujah. Then turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Thank God that blood is precious because of its pacifying power. You see, that blood pacifies the broken law. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God and have broken his law. And you remember that James said, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. You remember James writing his letter to believers and to Christians said, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. But he said, if you don't commit adultery, but you kill, you've still broken the law. And right on down, any of the other the law. If you've offended, he said, in one point, you're guilty of all of it. See, that's the way God looks at it. But see, men don't look at it that way. We ought to. We ought to come back to the Bible. You see, we say, oh, that's awful. That's awful. And yet somebody does something else, tells a lie. That's not bad. Sows discord among the brethren. God hates that worse than he does adultery. Are you listening to me? Amen. No. There's none of us that can stand up and brag on ourselves. Because we've all sinned. Romans 3:23. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. No use pointing a finger at somebody else. I remember when I first started preaching, just as a teenager, started pastoring my first church at 18 years of age and at 19 years of age. Well, all I had when I started out was my Bible and two books. Amen. I've added some to them since then. But that's all I could afford in those days. But you see, being pastor, you've got to help folks. I mean, you got to help married folks, and you ain't ever been married yet, still a teenager. But they married folks have problems sometimes. And here was a husband and wife. He came to get me, wanted me to help. I went by to visit him, and he is locked out. Amen. I mean, she had throwed him out on his ear. I mean, chewed him out. Amen. He's locked out. And so, out of her room, he's not out of the house. And so I went in, you know, and knocked on the door. It's locked. I said, this is Brother Hagin, you know. She wouldn't answer. And I knocked more and got louder. And finally, she opened the door. Now, if you're coming in here to side in with him, just forget it because he's wrong. I said, I didn't come in here to side in with anybody. I come in here really to come by to visit, but I've come in now to help you because I see you need help. I said, well, as a user thing, you're going to side in with him? I said, no, not exactly. I probably won't side in with you either. But I said, as a user thing, there's three sides to every argument. I'm not smart. I didn't think that up. I heard a Baptist preacher say it. That's where I got it. An older Baptist preacher say it. There's three sides to every argument. Your side, the other side, and then the right side. And so I said, I'm not standing on his side or your side. I'm on the right side. Amen. But what's the trouble? And so he had tried to talk and she had interrupted him. Because he followed me in the room. And she almost run him out again. I said, no, let him stay. I don't want to just hear your side. I want to hear both sides of it. Both sides of it. And so I said to him, now you just shut up. And let her talk. Let's hear her side now. Well, she said, he's just wrong. I want you to know that. He's always been wrong. We've been married, told how many years. Been married almost longer than I was old. I wasn't quite 19 yet. Just going on 19. And they'd been married just about as long as I'm old. Amen. Married that long. Hadn't learned any sense. Still just as stupid as they could be. And so she said, we've been married all of these years, and I want to tell you something right now. She's talking to me. I mean, the pastor, the minister. I want to tell you something right now. In all of these umpteen years that we've been married, I want to tell you one thing before we get into anything else. I've never been wrong. I've been right. Without thinking, I lifted my finger and pointed right in her face, just that close, and said, sister, now she understand it being a Texan. I said, you are a bald-faced liar. That shocked her that her pastor would call her. But I said, and after I said it, I realized it was right. Amen. It just come up out of me. I said, I'll not take it back. You are a bald-faced liar. There's nobody that's always 100% right. I said, what you need to do is get right with God. You're full of spiritual pride. How spiritual I am. How holy I am. Always right. The more I talked, she started weeping and she said, you know, and he had left the room. And she said, you know, you're right about that. And she began to pray and we began to pray. And she said, go call him. And so I went and called him and said, come. She wants to see him. You came in. She said, I want you to forgive me. I've been wrong practically all of her married life. God, forgive me. God, you forgive me. You forgive me. I see it now. But it took that some way or another for her to see that. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? But you're not going to have fellowship with God without getting cleansed. The point I wanted to make, I thought maybe you might enjoy some of the rest of it, but the point I want you to get is this. Don't miss the punchline here. If you offend in the least one, you're guilty of all of it. If you offend in the least one, you're guilty of all. Now, if you don't know that's in there, and some people may not, sometimes maybe we make a mistake of quoting some of these things. And somebody said, well, that's just Brother Hagin's idea. No, that's not Brother Hagin's idea. That's the Holy Ghost's idea. That's God's idea. Turn to the second chapter of the book of James real quickly. Turn to James chapter 2. Now notice, the 8th verse, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. Even if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, he said. And are convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law. Everybody say the whole law. And yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I didn't say that. God said that. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. And you could quote any of the rest of the law. Because he said, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, here he's talking about being a respecter of persons, then you're guilty of adultery, you're guilty of murder, you're guilty of the whole thing. Amen. That's just so none of us can stand before. Amen. And brag on ourselves. Amen. Are you listening to me? Thank God that blood pacifies the broken law. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. That blood pacifies the broken law, and we've all broken the law. Amen. Amen. But thank God it not only pacifies the broken law, it pacifies a guilty conscience. Yes. And then we have peace in our spirits and in our hearts. And so the blood is precious because of its pacifying power. And then notice Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, Paul is writing to Gentiles. Ye which were afar off are made nigh to God, near to God. We had no promise. But you see, because of the reconciling blood, it's stated in the other verse that we read, that by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Thank God that blood's precious because of its reconciling power. Amen. And we that were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're all blood relations of heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The 19th and 20th verses. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Everybody say boldness.
Boldness.
To enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That blood is precious because of its emboldening power. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Everybody say it again, boldness.
Boldness.
To do what? To enter into the holiest. That's into the very presence of God. You can't get any closer to God than that.
Hallelujah.
Into the holiest. By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. By a new and a living way.
Yes.
Jesus, you remember in the 14th chapter of John's gospel, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'll go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive it of myself, that where I am there you may be also. And the way you know. Now, show us the way and we'll know. He said, I'm the way.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm the way.
Yes.
I'm the truth.
Yes.
I'm the life.
Yes.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Some folks said, oh, it doesn't make any which religion it is. They're all going to head up the same place. No, they're not. Somebody said, well, now don't be a fanatic. I'm not. I'm just a Bible believer.
Amen.
Well, don't be a bigot. I'm not. I'm just a Bible believer.
Amen.
Amen. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to the throne. There is no other way to the holiest of holies except by the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. This text said, by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, praise God, that blood's precious because of its emboldening power. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. In the Old Testament, don't you remember? The Holy of Holies was where the presence of God was kept shut up. No one dare approach unto the Holy of Holies except the high priest. And he only once a year under great precautions. Because if anyone invaded or intruded into that place, they fell dead instantly. But bless God, when Jesus died out there on Golgotha's brow and shed his precious blood, that veil that curtained off the holies of holies was rent in twain from top to bottom, and God moved out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Of earth made holies of holies. And that holy presence dwells in us. Because you see, we have become the sons of God. We have the right to sonship. And because we are the sons of God, we can come by the blood of Jesus into the presence of God. Into the very holies of holies. Because of who I am? No. Not from a natural standpoint, because of who I am spiritually, yes, a child of God. Remember there in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 2nd verse, John says, beloved, now, not after a while in the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven, but now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. And we're invited, praise God, to come bold into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. You don't need mercy unless you missed it, boy. But thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. That goes right along with this verse of scripture. Another verse there, you remember in Hebrews said, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There is mercy. There is mercy. There is mercy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God forevermore. Hallelujah. Too many believers, if you don't know your rights, if you don't know your privileges, if you don't know what's secured to you, if you don't know what was bought and paid for in God's plan of redemption, if you don't know what already belongs to you, and thank God this belongs to us, then you see, instead of coming boldly, too many Christians, instead of coming boldly to the throne of grace, amen, entering into the holiest, having therefore, brethren, to enter into the holiest, we can enter into the very presence of God, into the holiest. Amen. You can't get any closer to God than that. Nobody. Oh, nobody. No one can get any closer to God than you. Some people think Brother Hagin can get closer to God than me. No, he can't. Nobody can get any closer to God than you can. Nobody. 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 Having therefore brethren.
Hallelujah.
Every one of us. When he says brethren, he's talking about the sisters too, you know.
Amen.
Amen. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, ever believer, to enter into the holiest. Well, you pray for me. You go in for me. No, you got just as much right as I do. Amen. He'll hear you just as quick as he will me. Glory to God. Now we'll have to pray for those weak Christians and unenlightened Christians and help them. But let's teach folks. Amen. So they can go in. So they can go in. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. Enter into. Enter into the holiest. That's in the very presence of God. That's in the very presence of God. By the blood of Jesus. 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 Oh, we think sometimes some great Christian, you know, oh, so-and-so's a great Christian. Oh, she or he's lived for God for 50 years. Let's get them to pray. You know, they can go in. No, you can go in just as quick as they can. It's by the blood of Jesus. It's not how long you live for God. Did you ever notice this? I've been around for a few years, you know. Did you ever notice this? Oftentimes, I pastored nearly 12 years. Oftentimes I've seen this again and again, and the older saints would gripe about it. Some young Christian comes in, gets saved, born again, filled with the Holy, and just get phenomenal answers to prayer. Just absolutely marvelous things. And some of the older saints said, well, can you explain that to me? I said, yeah, they're taking advantage of what belonged to them. Just believed it. Well, you've sat around long enough and educated your head at the expense of your spirit. Amen. Sitting around a moaning and a bawling and a squalling and a crying and a begging. And praying for what already belongs to you. And they just run and jumped in. Yeah. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Yeah. Every believer has the same right. Every believer is a child of God. Yeah. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God. Now. I'm not more of a son of God than you are. Hallelujah. You ladies are called sons of God. And you have the right to enter in. Come right into his presence. Come right into his presence. Come right into his presence. Hallelujah. Has any more right than you do. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Everybody say, because of the blood. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Boldness to enter. Too many Christians, instead of coming into the presence of God, they're sitting around on the outside, on the curbstone. Maybe God will have mercy on them, come out after a while. Or else they come up like a beggar to the back door. Maybe if I could knock loud enough, holler long enough, cry sad enough, he might eventually come and give me a handout. But no, he's invited you to come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Come on in.
Come on in.
Yeah.
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 Come on in. The door's open. The door's open. Come on in. The blood of Jesus. Ha ha. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. I'm the door. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Having therefore, brethren, boldness.
Boldness.
Maybe if I can slip in. Nobody watching. No, bless God, you belong there. You belong there. You belong there. You're in the family of God. He's your father. Amen. Your father sits on the throne. Hallelujah. Come on in. Come on in. Hallelujah. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new. Thank God for the New Testament. Thank God for the New Covenant. Hallelujah. Don't go back and try to get under the old. Come on, live in the new.
Yes.
A new and a living way, which he's consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Thank God that blood is precious because of its emboldening power.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Number 6. Turn to Revelation, the 12th chapter, 11th verse. Be sure you got your shouting clothes on now before we get to this one. Don't sit there like a bump on a log and let it get by you. Enter in with joy. Enter in with joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And they, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood. By the blood. By the blood. By the blood. Of whom does it speak when it said they overcame him? The devil himself.
Yeah.
Oh, Lucifer.
Yeah.
and all of his cohorts.
Yes.
They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yes.
Add the word of your testimony to the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And that blood is precious because of its overcoming power.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Overcoming the world.
Yes.
Overcoming the power of the devil.
Yes.
Overcoming every fear.
Yes.
Overcoming the fear of death.
Yes.
Too many Christians are afraid to die. Somebody wrote me recently, a dear woman, her husband, elderly. Not that he's so sick, but his body's just wore out, and the body is going to wear out. But he's afraid that I've been a Christian for years, spirit-filled, Pentecostal, full of gospel, afraid to die. It's because he doesn't know how to appropriate what belongs to him, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's precious because of its overcoming power.
Yeah.
Overcoming the fear of death. You see, because of the blood of Jesus. Because of this new, we just got through reading the previous, new way. Oh no, you can't find it in the Old Testament. The Bible's progressive revelation. You don't get the full revelation in the Old Testament. Did you ever notice all of those folks, you know, that don't believe in heaven and hell and don't believe in life after death? They always go to the Old Testament where it's talking about the body. Why don't they come over? I was talking to one of them one time. I said, maybe you could help me with this verse. Here in Philippians, the first chapter. 21st through the 23rd verse, when Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yes.
For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better.
Amen.
Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He's talking about physical death.
That's right.
And this fellow said, you know, I never have figured out what he meant by that. No, certainly he couldn't. Not on his, what he believed. Thank God for the new way.
Yes.
Everybody say the new way.
The new,
way. The new covenant.
The new, covenant.
The new Testament.
The new
that brings a new light.
New
you see, Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth. See, Paul said that to the Philippians, writing to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, for though the outward man perishes, as the Martin said, is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Never grows any older. Never grows any older. Somebody said, in the land where I'll never grow old. I'm not growing old in this land. The house I'm living in is growing old, but I'm not. I'm just young as everyone.
Yeah.
Glory
yeah.
to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The inward man's renewed day by day. And he went on down to the fifth chapter. That's the 16th verse, you see, of the fourth chapter. The fifth chapter in the first verse, he said, for we know. I like that, don't you? Isn't that, that's positive. I believe if the Apostle Paul had a negative bone in him, he'd have cut it out. No, I like a positive person.
Yes.
We know.
We know.
Not we hope so.
No.
Not maybe so.
No.
Not this is our theory.
No.
Not this is the way we believe it.
No,
no not
no.
this is the way we've got it figured out. No, we know.
Yes.
What is it we know? What is it we know? That if our earthly house of this tabernacle, of this body were dissolved, if it dies, you put it in the ground, it goes back to dust. We have a building.
Yes.
That's not the end. That's not the end. We have a building.
Amen.
Not made with hands.
Yes.
Eternal.
Amen.
Eternal.
Amen.
Eternal.
Glory.
Eternal.
Glory.
Eternal.
Hallelujah.
Eternal.
You,
eternal.
Hallelujah.
In the heavens.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember our original text? Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Amen.
Eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he went on down to the 6th, 7th, and 8th verses and said, for we know. Oh, I like that. Positive. We know. What is it we know, Paul? That while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8, we're willing, confident. Positive and willing rather therefore to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Thank God it's all because of the blood of Jesus. It's all because of the new and the living way. Because of its overcoming power. Overcoming the world. Overcoming the devil. Overcoming sin. Overcoming the fear of death. Overcoming any other fear. Amen.
Amen.
That's number 6 in case you didn't get it. Number 7 and final. Look in Revelations 5:9. Be sure you got your shouting clothes on now. Get your shouting shoes on too. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Look at Revelation 5:9. You ready?
Yeah.
And they sung. Woo! they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That blood is precious because of its song-inspiring power. Hallelujah. 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 Precious blood. Song-inspiring power. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. They're talking about Jesus. And hast redeemed us. Redeemed us. How? By thy blood. By thy blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah. That blood is precious because of its song-inspiring power. Look at Revelation 1:5. The latter part of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Unto him that loved us, unto him that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. A new song for new souls in a new sphere. Hallelujah. Unto him that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. If you can't get happy about the blood, you need to get saved. You need another dip. I don't mean another dip of Levi. I mean another dip in the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sin. Let's sing it. Let's sing it.